I'd like to wish each and every one of you a happy new year. I pray that 2017 is going to be a blessed year for you, your family, and for all the concerns and endeavors that the Lord puts before you. And I have a special message for you today on this first day of 2017. It's found in the single verse of Psalm 85, verse 6. So I'm going to invite you to take hold of your copy of God's Word and turn with me there in the middle of the Bible to Psalm 85 and verse 6. If you've not brought your Bible with you today, just reach right in front of you, get one of those pew Bibles, and turn with us to page number 679. You'll find yourself at our text for the day, and I invite you to keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side as you receive more from the message as you see it unfolding before your very eyes from God's holy inspired word. You're going to get 40, 50, 60% more out of the message if you see it there coming from God's word into your heart. Also, I hope that you've noticed on the cover of your worship bulletin, I'm beginning a new sermon series next Sunday for several weeks on the book of Colossians. And we're going to be looking at the supremacy of Christ, how he is our all in all. I hope that you will invite friends. I hope that you will invite prospects and those that don't know Christ, that they might be introduced to the King who can be the difference maker in their life. So Psalm 85, verse 6. At the dawning of this new year, we all have an excellent opportunity to make a new start. In Psalm 85, verse 6, the writer makes a request of God for a fresh start. You can too. It all begins by just humbling yourself and pleading with God that he would give you a new beginning, a fresh start for this new year. Or in other words, what the Bible calls number one in your notes, the revival. You see what the psalmist requests in this opening statement? He says, "Will you not revive us?" That word revive is a very interesting word. It means to make alive. And there are many of us, if we just had to be honest, we kind of feel spiritually lethargic. We're kind of worn out. We're kind of beaten down. And even though God has given us life in his Son, if you're a Christian, you have been delivered from trespasses and sins, and you're no longer spiritually dead. But many times as a believer, you can feel just like, well, you're burning the candle at both ends, and you're flat worn out. And you need a spark. You need a revival. It also means, that word revive, to quicken, to make alive, or to restore. And that's exactly what the psalmist needed. And that word revive is perfectly illustrated in Ezekiel chapter 38. Interesting story there in the Old Testament. The prophet Ezekiel was taken by the Spirit of the Lord into a valley in the Holy Land. And to his shock and amazement in that valley, he found that it was literally filled and piled up with dry bones. And from the context of what he was observing, it was clear that this was an army that had been devastated and it had been defeated. And not recently, because the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 38 that these bones were very, very dry. They had absolutely no life in them, no marrow in them. And also it says that they were scattered. I mean, it wasn't like a full and complete skeleton. It was this bone over here, this bone over there, a valley full of dry bones. Then imagine Ezekiel's amazement when God instructs him to preach to this valley of dry bones. They didn't even have ears. I feel that way many Sunday mornings myself. So Ezekiel, being obedient to God, said, "Okay, Lord, you instructed it. These skeletons don't even have ears. They don't have the faculties to respond to what I'm preaching to them. But At your instruction, I will preach to them. And so here the man of God preaches to this valley full of dry bones. And then a miracle of God occurred. The bones started rattling. They made a rattling noise. And then all of a sudden, this bone over here, this neck bone over here, got connected to this head bone over here. And the neck bone got connected to the collarbone, and the collarbone got connected to the arm bone, and on as the old spiritual goes, until this entire valley of scattered dry bones was now an assembled army standing at attention. But not only that, God put flesh on them, and God gave them all the organs they needed to respond to what God was saying to them through the man of God. It was a miracle. And you know what I believe with all of my heart? That there are many of us here today that need the same kind of miracle. You feel beaten down. You feel worn out. You feel burned out. And you feel dead, lethargic spiritually. At the dawn of this new year, God could bring the miracle of revival in your life. Could it be that even now, as I'm reading the Word of God to you, that His Spirit is quickening you and something new is stirring inside of your life, something that you've been longing for days, maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe years? God could do that miracle right here in this place today as He revives you. But let's look at this verse word by word and phrase by phrase. Let's just unpack it because there's so much here. We see not only the revival in this request, will you not revive, but we also see the recipients of this request. Simply identified here is us. Lord, will you not revive us. Now, who is the us that is making this request in Psalm 85? Well, I would encourage you to go back to the beginning of Psalm 85 where there is a superscription. In every translation that I've looked at, except for the King James Authorized Version, and that superscription, probably in bold type, says something to this effect, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Now, in some versions of the New King James, that superscription is actually in verse 1. But it is clear now who the us is making this request for renewal. It is the sons of Korah. Now, what do we know about the sons of Korah? Well, they were a special class of Levites who were given the responsibility of leading music in the worship services, first of all in the tabernacle and then in the temple in the psalmist's day. They're like the choir and the orchestra here and others who lead us from week to week in the worship of the Lord God through the wonderful gift of music. And so these sons of Korah had a very important responsibility when it came to the worship of the Lord God. They would have been the ministerial leaders of the day. They would have been the clergy of the day when this was spoken of. Now, their actual story is told to us over in the book of Numbers. That's where we first read about Korah, is in Numbers chapter 16. And there he was one of the leaders of the children of Israel as they were in the wilderness wandering around, and Korah became very dissatisfied, and he gathered up other leaders in that assembly of Israelites who were also dissatisfied, and they got 250 leaders to join them and lead a rebellion. Actually ended up being a rebellion against God Himself. They complained against God. They did not like their lot in life. And so God took a very dim view of this in Numbers chapter 16. We read that God took Korah and others that were joining him, and he put them in front of their tents, and then he opened up the ground from underneath them, and the earth swallowed them up with all of their possessions. Not an earthquake, because the Bible says in Numbers 16 that it covered them back over. God has a very serious reaction to rebellion and to complaint and to disobedience, especially amongst his leaders. And we see how he dealt with them there. He justly dealt with them in Numbers chapter 16, but we see God's mercy. In Numbers chapter 16, verse 11, God spared the sons of Korah. Same sons of Korah here in Psalm 85. He spared them from the fate of their father. And they were able to continue as Levites and lead what was then tabernacle worship, which would ultimately become temple worship. And they maintained their status as the clergy, as the spiritual leadership of the day. But now we see them coming here, and something has happened in their lives to where they say, things just aren't right in my life. That might be the way you feel as you take a spiritual assessment of yourself this morning. Things just aren't the way that they should be in my life spiritually. And so, God, I'm humbling myself. This is what these sons of Korah said. And I am earnestly pleading with you. I am humbly requesting that you would revive us, the sons of Korah. Now, a few takeaways here for all of us. First of all, these sons of Korah were very close to ministry on a daily basis. And I'm speaking to a lot of people here today. They're very close to the ministries of First Baptist Church Newnan. Whether it's working in the mobile food pantry like many of you did this last cold Friday, or whether it's working in the AO house, or whether it's ministering with children or ministering with youth or young adults, median adults, senior adults. Some of us are leaders. These sons of Korah were ministry leaders. Some of us serve on committees. Some of us serve on teams. Some of us work with youth. Some of us have responsibility as deacons, ministering to families, Sunday school teachers, Sunday school workers, maybe a group leader, a fellowship leader, an outreach leader. There are lots of leaders here represented. As a matter of fact, if you've got any kind of job in this church, you're a leader. Now, this is what happens. I'm just going to be honest with you, and I'm speaking from my own personal experience. The closer you get to ministry, the more you have the opportunity to become cynical. Day in, day out, doing the same thing over and over and over again. Many times it just becomes cut and dried routine, just doing the same old thing. And whereas you might have began like a house afire, you had such passion and such excitement in your heart for the ministry that God had called you to, now you're just kind of like those dry bones. God bless you for being in ministry, but there is a hidden danger that comes along with ministry. And these sons of Korah, they were leaders of ministry. I want to say that even leaders, and especially myself, standing here in this place of responsibility as the under-shepherd of this church, I am not exempt as a spiritual leader from getting far, far away from God and viewing the ministry as something that's just cut and dried and routine. It's every Monday morning, getting up, coming to the office, and starting a whole new routine that works out the same way week after week after week. It's like a dad that gets up at 5 a.m. in the morning and fights the traffic into Atlanta and does the same old job day after day, week after week, and then comes home at the assigned time where his family is, and the next day he starts it over and over and over again. It's like the mom that stays home and it seems like she's washed that same old dish a million times in the same week. She's ironed that same old shirt, no telling how many times in the same month, and it just gets routine. And before long, we feel like a student who just says, you know what, I'm tired of just going back to the same old school and seeing the same, I won't say old teacher, but being in front of the same teacher with the same textbook, and you just don't have a fire in your bones anymore for what you used to have a passion for. Being a ministry leader and being close to the ministry does not exempt you from needing revival. As a matter of fact, it qualifies you especially for the need of constant and continual revival. And so that's where these sons of Korah were, and that's where many of us are today. Oh, dear God, I humbly ask you, will you not revive us again? Again. You know, there is misery in the mundane so many times. There is a dilemma in the details so many times. But repetition can be a blessing, as we see here in our third point, where we see not only the revival, we see not only the recipients, but we see the repetition. Lord, will you not revive us? And this is a key word, again. Lord, we know you've done it before, and so because of that, we know you can do it again. Lord, I have personally experienced it in my life, and so I know if you've done it before, I know that you will repeat it again. If I humble myself, if I plead with you, as the sons of Korah did. Now, some might cynically say, maybe it's the devil who's already crawled in between your ears in the middle of this message and said, I've done that many times before, preacher. You don't know how many times I've been revived and devived, and I just don't want to go through that again. And again, there might be some who cynically say, well, you know, I tried that before and I felt closer, but then before long I slipped back and I don't have it in me to try it again. There might be some who would say, you know what, it just hurts too much, preacher, to try all over again. Oh, friend, God wants to do it again in your life. And what you need to realize is the normal Christian life is a series of peaks and valleys. Peaks and valleys. And I said normal Christian life. I don't know of any Christian who has had just smooth sailing across the plateau of a mountain peak their entire life. We've got college students and high school students that are up at the Georgia Dome. And they're feeling the passion at this passion conference, and they're being revived. And I'll guarantee you that they feel like they're on a mountain peak. But here, in a few hours and days, they're going to be coming back to Noonan, and where they were once on a mountain peak, now they're back in the routine of things. And if you don't watch out, if you don't maintain some of those spiritual disciplines of praying, of reading your Bible, you'll be down further than you ever were before. But that doesn't mean that God is through with you. This is where so many Christians make a mistake. Well, I've been on the mountain peak. I've been where I felt like I could touch the face of God, but now I feel a million miles away from Him. I must be lost. No, not if you can remember a time in your life when you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you asked Him to save you. You are saved for eternity. You are safe in the hands of Jesus, and no one can take you from Him. You can feel miserable. You can feel a million miles away from God, but God is still there. He is still in you. And what you need to do is to do what the sons of Korah did. Say, oh, dear God, will you not revive us again? And you know what God will do? He will do what He has done throughout history. He will do what He's done throughout your own personal life, and He will send a spirit of renewal in your life. Here's the thing about being filled with the Spirit. A lot of people get it mixed up. When you get saved, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you're baptized once and for all. But the filling of the Spirit is different. It's like taking your car to get the gas tank filled. You have to do that almost on a weekly basis because it runs out. And so even though I am baptized in the Spirit and I am in Christ Jesus and the Spirit of God has sealed me, I need to constantly and continually refill my spiritual tank. God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And that's why so many of us feel powerless and frustrated here today. Is because you're running on fumes. You're running on empty. And you need to say, God, thank you for your Spirit. Would you not fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit? Here's the thing. 2016's filling of the Holy Spirit won't get you through 2017. As a matter of fact, yesterday's filling of the Holy Spirit won't get you through today. You need to constantly humble yourself and say, God, will you not revive me again? Oh, friend, He wants to do it. And the outcome is wonderful. Well, don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Here in verse 6, Psalm 85, it says in its entirety, speaking to God, will you not revive us again that your people may, and here's the key word, rejoice in you. Well, let's be honest. Some of us today aren't very happy. We wouldn't describe joy as being the overriding feeling that's in our life today. A lot of us just feel worn out. We feel tired. We feel burned out, and there's no joy in our lives. We've just gotten through the Christmas season, and we're just trying to recover. But I want you to know today that joy is not anything you can manufacture with gifts, with parties, with celebrations. Joy is something that only comes from God Himself and a proper relationship with Him. You see, God is the origin of our joy, and that's why so many of us don't have joy. We're trying to find joy in everything else but our relationship with God. But He's not only the origin of our joy, He is the objective of our joy. Weigh every word carefully here in verse 6 when it says that your people may rejoice in you. I'm not going to rejoice in my church. I'm not going to rejoice in my job. I'm not going to rejoice in my accomplishments. Dear God, the only thing that I can rejoice in is you, because you are my Lord and Savior. You're my single objective when it comes to rejoicing. And so as our objective of joy, we find what the true meaning of worship is. And that is to focus on Him and find our joy in Him and in Him alone. There's some of us right here today that need to do that all over again. It's been a long time since you've done it. I can't think of a better day to do it than in the first day of 2017. God, will you not revive me, a saved person, again, that I may rejoice in you? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, there's some of us here today, though, maybe listening by internet, watching by TV, or live streaming video, or maybe even sitting here in the balcony or here on the main floor. You can't be revived because you've never been vitalized to begin with. You've never been made alive to begin with. This is what I mean. You see, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, the Bible says that you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You don't need revival. You need the life that only Jesus can give from a saving relationship. And if you've never trusted Him to be your Savior, you could do that today, and He would fill you to overflowing as He baptizes you with your Holy Spirit, with His Holy Spirit, and you would leave this place today rejoicing in the Lord. There's some here today that want to begin this new year by doing God's will, and God's been speaking to us about some decisions that are very important for us as individuals and our families. Maybe that decision is about becoming an active part of a church, and maybe God is speaking to you today about becoming a part of First Baptist family. Well, it'd be a wonderful day, wonderful way to begin this new year of 2017 by being obedient to God. So whatever God is saying to you, I pray that you will do it as we bow together right now. Dear Father, I just thank you so much for your word and for how it speaks to us exactly where we live. And God, I just ask that today you would revive those who so desperately need a special touch from you, that you would fill them to overflowing with your Holy Spirit and with your joy unspeakable. Father, I pray for that dear person who has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior. I pray that you might make them alive today through your Son, Jesus Christ, as they put their faith and their trust in you. And Father, for those that are here today that just want to start this year in the center of your will, I pray that you will bless them as they are obedient to you. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.